Hello, hello, hello. Here's Marlanka again with another episode, continuing this morning with Sri Aurobindo's essays, Divine and Human, on consciousness. Consciousness in this, its outer shell, has become to the appearance something else, which seems not to have any resemblance to conscious being, as gas becoming water is to appearance something else, which has no remotest gaseous semblance. The truth sits veiled behind the appearance, self-absorbed. There is in all things, without exception, that which is conscious in these conscious and unconscious existences, that which is awake in these who sleep. The silence behind life. You see, there is a silence behind life, as well as within it. And it is only in this more secret, sustaining silence that we can hear clearly the voice of God. In the noise of the world, we hear only altered and disturbed echoes of it. For the voice comes always. Who else speaks to us on our journey? But the gods of the heart, the gods of the mind, the gods of desire, the gods of sense, take up the divine cry, intercept it, and alter it for their purposes. Krishna calls to us, but the first note, even the opening power or sweetness, awakes a very brouhaha of these echoes. Oh, it is not the fault of these poor gods. The accent of power is so desirable. The note of sweetness is so captivating that they must seize it. They would be dull and soulless. There would be no hope of their redemption if they did not at once leap at it and make it their own. But in becoming their own, it ceases to be entirely his. How many who have the religious faith and the religious temperament are following the impulses of their heart, the cravings of their desire, the urgency of their senses, the dictates of their opinion when they fully imagine that their God is leading them? And they do well, for God is leading them. It's the way he has chosen for them. And since he has chosen it, it's the best and wisest and most fruitful way for them. Still, it is their God, not one they have made in their own image as the atheist believes, but one who makes himself in the image of that they prefer, the image that best suits with their nature or their development. In whatever way men come to me, in that way I love and cleave to them. That is a saying of fathomless depth which contains the seed of the whole truth about God and religion. I'm going to read that again because it's so important. He says, in whatever way men come to me, in that way I love and cleave to them. After all, it is only in this way that the conditioned can meet the absolute, that which has a nature or dharma of its own, with that which is beyond all limit of nature or dharma. After the meeting of the soul with God, well, that is a different matter. The secrets of his nuptial chamber cannot all be spoken. Nevertheless, there is a higher way of meeting him than that which leads us through subjection to the gods. By perfect love, by perfect joy, by perfect satisfaction, by perfected mind, one can hear what the voice truly says, if not the voice itself. Catch the kernel of the message with a sort of ecstatic perfection, even if afterwards the gods dilated on it and by attempting to amplify and complete it, load it with false corollaries, or prevent some greater fullness of truth from arriving to us. Therefore, this way also, though it is high, cannot be the highest. Yoga has four powers and objects: purity, liberty, beatitude, and perfection. Whosoever has consummated these four mightinesses in the being of the transcendental, universal, Lila Maya, and individual God is the complete and absolute yogin. All manifestations of God are manifestations of the absolute Parabrahman. Now, the absolute Parabrahman is unknowable to us, not because it is the nothingness of all that we are, but rather whatever we are, in truth or in seeming, is nothing but Parabrahman. But because it is pre-existent and supra-existent to even the highest and purest methods and the most potent and inimitable instruments of which soul in the body is capable. In Parabrahman, knowledge ceases to be knowledge and becomes an inexpressible identity. Become Parabrahman if thou wilt and if that will suffer thee, but strive not to know it, for thou shalt not succeed with these instruments in this body. So in reality, thou art Parabrahman already, ever wast and ever will be. To become Parabrahman in any other sense, thou must depart utterly out of world manifestation and out even of world transcendence. Why shouldst thou hunger after departure from manifestation, as if the world were an evil? Has not that manifested itself in thee and in the world? And art thou wiser and purer and better than the absolute, O mind-deceived soul in the mortal? When that withdraws thee, then thy going hence is inevitable. Until its force is laid on thee, thy going is impossible. Cry thy mind never so fiercely and wailingly for departure. Therefore, neither desire nor shun the world, but seek the bliss and purity and freedom and greatness of God in whatsoever state or experience or environment. So long as thou hast any desire, let it be the desire of non-birth or the desire of liberation, thou cannot attain to Parabrahman. For that has no desires, neither of birth nor of non-birth, nor of the world nor of departure from the world. The Absolute is unlimited by thy desire, as it is inaccessible to thy knowledge. So, if thou wouldst know Parabrahman, then know it as it chooses to manifest itself in the world and transcending it. For transcendence also is a relation to world and not the sheer absolute, since otherwise it is unknowable. This is the simultaneous knowing and not knowing, spoken of in Vedanta. Of Parabrahman, we should not say that it is world transcendent or world immanent or related or non-related to the world. For all these ideas of world and not world, of transcendence and immanence and relation, are expressions of thought by which mind puts its own values on the self-manifestation of Parabrahman to its own principle of knowledge. And we cannot assert any, even the highest of them, to be the real reality of that which is at once all and beyond all, nothing and beyond nothing. A profound and unthinking silence is the only attitude which the soul manifested in world should adopt towards the Absolute. I think that's sufficient for today. We pause at this point to be continued in the next episode, next week, God willing. Closing for today, thank you for being here. Marlanka signing off.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.